Hey, welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul Adrian and Phil on the third mic. This is a number one show with entrepreneurs and Honda lease renewers. Let's get into it.
Big Facts No
Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap.
Big Facts No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
This is my impression of a homophobic small business owner. It's called mom and pop shop, but not pop and pop shop.
That's good.
Here's my impression of an anti-polyamorous small business owner. It's called a mom and pop shop, not a pop and mom and pop and mom and pop and pop shop.
Here's my impression of a family business owner. So it's from their point of view. So we're going to switch the joke a little bit. Okay, it's from their point of view, and they just adopted some kids. We're not the step mom and pop. We're the mom and pop that stepped up.
I like that.
I saw somebody post for Mother's Day. It was like this. It's funny. He's a black man from Atlanta. He's a comedian, and he posted like on his Instagram story or something. He was like, I'm not the stepmom. I'm the mom that stepped up or something like that. It made me laugh. I thought it was funny. Because I'm like, he's not a mom.
Because
he's a dude. And I'm like, hold up.
He's a dude.
Yeah, he's funny, though. Shout out to all the moms and pops out there.
Mm-hmm. If you guys walked into a mom and pop shop, if they were old and you felt like being snarky, would you call it a pop-up and mama shop?
No, I don't like being mean to elders.
I knew this one elderly lady that she opened up a soda shop. It was a mom and pop shop. She lived in Minnesota. I meant to say that too. She called them pops.
Oh, yeah. All right. For folks just tuning into this podcast, we're going to be doing this for the next hour and a half.
Hey, Paul, do you want to hear my Yoda joke that me and Adrian probably kept on making jokes about for like an hour on Friday?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So this is my impression of Yoda. If he got pulled over at like a DUI checkpoint and he was asked to do a sobriety check. All right, this is Yoda. Yeah, I could say the alphabet backwards, but remember, officer, I'm Yoda. And then he puts the car in reverse and drives off.
It was a great time.
How was y'all's weeks? Any media roundups?
I watched Passenger, terrible, really bad, but at least I got to watch that one, Pierce and Nicole, so that was fun that they came along for a really bad movie. Very Far Down, Hokum, and Obsession were way better. And then I also watched I Love Boosters, which was Boots Riley's new film. That was awesome. That was super fun. Very Boots Riley, very absurdist. The guy who did us, Sorry to Bother You. Very like heavy-handed in the messaging and imagery, but like it was fun. It was a really good time.
That is one I'm excited to go see in theaters.
And then other than that, I went to go watch Milan completely embarrass ourselves at the end of the season and miss out on Champions League football, and I'm going to kill myself, so. See you guys. What a way to fumble the bag on that one.
As far as media roundup goes, I stayed with Bob in Greensboro this weekend for the Greensboro comedy competition thing, and we just watched Everybody Loves Raymond when we got back to the house. We weren't watching anything new.
You forcing him to do that, or is he also a fan of
he got into it because he knows how much I like, and he was like, you know what, I'm going to go back and rewatch the show. And then, yeah, we watched probably 4 or 5 episodes over the weekend. Did the competition. I got through the first round. It was very fun. Very fun crowd.
Comedy competition in Greensboro.
Comedy competition. It was cool. A lot of funny comedians.
Only through the first round? Who beat you?
This was just the first round weekend, so I had to go back for round two.
If you lose, can you be real salty on Facebook about how they don't respect Columbia comedians? Can you make this a thing where you make it like you're an immigrant?
I'm gonna do it on stage. That's what I...
Oh yeah, is anyone else from Columbia doing it?
There was one person that was from Columbia, but they live in Charlotte now. But he did make it through the first round. He was in my round. He was really funny. Shout out Wafik. Yeah, other than that, I'm the only person I know doing it from Columbia. It's a lot of Greensboro people, but they're all so fucking funny. So I don't know. Even if I don't make it far, I'm just having fun hanging out with them, hanging out with Bob. If I win, then let's just say I'm going to have a little bit of a nicer microphone that following Tuesday.
But you just bought a new one.
I'm gonna buy a second one.
Paul, what'd you get into? What kind of shenanigans?
What did I get into? This morning I went to a Franciscan monastery for a tour, and one of the people on the tour, it was like maybe not middle-aged, like probably between 25 and 35, but she was like a neurodivergent Asian woman.
And what did she sound like?
Oh, she was like American Asian. But it seemed like her special interest was Catholicism and Catholic history. Hmm. So she was so eager to interrupt the tour guide at every opportunity and give her own facts. And just it was one of those things where it was very annoying, but also kind of charming, you know, as like equal parts, like, oh my gosh, you need to stop talking over him. But like, it is a little charming that this adult really wants to, I don't know, share her facts with the world. I watched Double Indemnity, and that was a, you know, I think, Adrian, you've mentioned this before. It's like, with a lot of things that I'm into, I'm not actually that well-versed on the history. So I don't go back and watch like the black and white classics from the 50s. And that's one that's worth going back and watching if you're ever interested in some of the classic Hollywood films. It was really good and holds up today.
Well, who directed that?
Billy Wilder.
Hmm. Okay, okay, my man.
The writing is really tight. There's a lot of good things that I feel like at one point he's drinking some tea with like the clearly evil seductress character, and he's like, some rum would really put this on its feet, which I've never heard that before, but I'm gonna start saying that every time I'm drinking a non-alcoholic drink.
I like that.
Put it on his feet. I like that.
And then at one point his narration is just, I was feeling out of sorts, so I stopped at the drive-in for a beer. What a fun thing that back then you could get a beer in your car.
Man, imagine if the Sonic in Lexington did that in high school. That'd be so fun. They would just bring out beers. Stay in your
local. Route 66?
Ooh.
A Route 66 double IPA? What are you doing, Phil?
Going to Atlanta would be so much more fun if the Varsity would just serve you liquor.
Yeah.
Mm. The Moonshine Drive-In. Come on through. Drive-through orders only. Like, they promote drunk driving. No dine-in.
It's one of those ridiculous drinking deals where they're like, a beer with a shot for $5.
I had a few mimosas this morning at brunch. I haven't had a mimosa in a while, and oof, I miss them. They're good. I don't know why I don't get them more often.
Where are we brunching at nowadays in Columbia?
No, it was Greensboro.
This was Greensboro, yeah. It was a place called Bites and Brews, I think, or Brews and Bites.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was about to make the same reaction as Adrian. Yeah. Just kill me before I go to a place called Brews and Bites.
Yeah.
What? It was
we have
so
that
good.
In Sacramento. We have that. Is the blank and blank name restaurants people always hate on.
Oh, yeah.
You've been to Moo and Brew in Charlotte yet?
No, the one with the alcoholic milk.
Moo.
It's a real place, but yeah.
Wait, so is it
alcoholic milkshakes or what is it?
Burgers and beer.
Oh, because we have Burgers and Brew here.
Do you ever think people are like misled by Chick-fil-A if they never heard of it? And when they see all the cows logo and they go there for burgers and it's like, we just got chicken.
Yeah, they're probably going to shoot it up.
You think they were misled? They get there and they're like, oh, they hate gay people?
Huh? Then why does that cow look so spicy on the ads?
This is like an old ass Adrian thing when I lived in Davis, but one of my like few Facebook posts that my old research advisor commented on was the fact that I thought Davis's downtown was turning into Mickey Mouse bullshit because we had a Burgers and Brew next to a Pizza and Pints next to another restaurant that I can't remember what it was, but I was getting mad about how Mickey Mouse bullshit our downtown was becoming. And he was like, what about a place where you could do hand rolls and get your laundry done, sushi and suds? And I was like, all right, Andy, I'm friends with you on Facebook in like a cordial way, not in like a you need to comment on my status this way.
Wait, you don't like riffers? You don't like a wild riff?
You know what, we weren't getting into Riff City, but I should have been open to it. If I'd opened my heart to that, we could have been in Riff City together. It would have been a merry Riffsmas.
He would have gave you the key to Riff City.
Yeah.
You could have cut the ribbon for that business. Sushi sucks. Could have
cut the ribbon.
This could have been you and him, man. He was ready for it. He should double back on that status. He should come back years afterwards and be like, yo, what's up, Wyatt?
You spin the block real quick on that.
What happened to the bit? What are we doing now? I just wanted to follow up on this bit real quick.
My suggestions were like donuts and drafts and tacos and tall boys.
I do like how they're relying on the alliteration, and that really pigeonholes them to make these two things work together, you know?
Kolaches and Kolches.
Yeah.
It was a... Oh, that's good. It was a begrudging thing, too, because Pizza and Pines ended up being one of my favorite restaurants in town, but it took me a long time to get there. Man.
So what if a chef, like, they're really good at making quiche, like quiches, and they're like, I guess we got to do quilts. I guess we got to do quiches and quilts. We got to do a sewing. So we got to do, like, a embroidery. Like,
why would... No, it would just be quiches and quenchers.
Quiches and what?
Quenchers.
Quenchers. Yeah. I'm not... Hey, listen. If somebody says, yeah, you want to drink a quencher? I'm going to be like, hey, chill, bro. Hold up. I'll just have the quiche. Thank you very much.
Hey, is it appropriate for a grown man to be quenched?
Wait, are quenchers that little, like, orb drink that, like... No, those are...
Oh, I just mean generally the verb of being quenched.
What are the little blue orbs that you can buy from, like...
You mean buzz balls?
Buzz balls. Yeah.
Oh, burgers and buzz balls.
Burgers.
Oh, I like that with the BU. That's a fun Charlie take to bring into the podcast. He hates any restaurant that uses the word libations in their description.
That is
or,
obnoxious.
Like, subtitle.
Yeah. Libations. What does that mean?
This is an oldie-timey word for drink. Yeah.
A libation.
Remember when bars were all trying to look like apothecaries? That was kind of a weird era.
Yeah. But speaking of all these different things, we're talking a little bit about small businesses.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys want to get into the theme?
Let's do it.
Yeah, local business or small business owners that hustle hard. Is that the theme?
Small business owners that hustle hard.
Are we sure a podcast hasn't done this theme before?
We can abandon that framing, but the thing that made me think of that and why I wrote it down is I went to go get coffee at this one place. It looked more like a place where people go to, like, fill their water jugs, but it came up as a place where you go get coffee. I go to get a coffee there. It's a weird, like, health store slash, like, they have, like, the mushroom drink and, like, other shit. But the main thing that they do there is they sell some kind of special formulation of water. And so immediately the owner comes up to talk to me. He's like, hey, have you been here before? Have you tried, like, the water that we have? And I was like, no, I didn't really know. He immediately pours me a sample. He's like, take a sip, brother. And I was like, it tastes like water. Yeah. I was just like, this guy is hustling me. So I just stepped in the door.
How many people give him the fake reaction he wants? They feel so awkward that they're like, this is the best. Oh my God. This is the best water
I've
ever had.
The next time I went, I came in a wheelchair and then I drank the water and I got up. Yeah, immediately he was like, I'm getting this sale, baby. And I was like, I'm going to get chai tea.
Just imagine some acidite thing where he's like, this water pairs really good with just like a little drizzle of olive oil on top.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wait till you try our ice. You like put some in your beer. Like, I really don't want that in my beer.
That does, I don't, it feels like somebody trying to lean into a joke about California people to do fancy water.
Yeah, kind of. I can't remember. He said it was like, he went to Japan and found this weird water purification process and was like, I'm going to bring it to America. And so like, apparently it's one of the few places in the country that does it.
Oh, okay.
But it's this like obscure Japanese technology to make your water extra pure, or they like add oxygen to it. It's crazy.
Do y'all like it when y'all go to restaurants and except for like giving y'all just glasses of water, they give y'all empty cups or glasses and then like one of those like nice bottles with like a little weird cork on it of like...
Oh, nice bottles? The ones that look like you get like 12 at Target for a dollar?
Yeah, it looks like one of those corks or like caps that have like the little metal thing on it. And you
the
have
little
to,
red
like,
thing with the... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with Adrian. I don't know how nice those are, but...
Oh, I eat one of those. I'm like, is this a Michelin star restaurant? Because they hustle me. They hustle me pretty hard.
My problem with those places is that you end up drinking it in three glasses, and then they never think to refill your water. I'm like, I'd rather you guys just had a pitcher, and I got refilled frequently.
Yeah, that
give
is
me
true.
Give me an old lady with some sass and a pitcher any day.
Yeah, and fuck the spout on that pitcher. Pour it from the side.
From the side.
With some
give
attitude.
Me some ice cubes in there. Mm-hmm.
I hate it when they give you mason jars with water in them. I don't like it.
Oh,
I think it's a very
jar
inconvenient
guy.
Cup. Oh, really?
Yeah,
is
I use them
right
at home because
liquid?
They
what
have so much. They hold so much. If you're like, oh, I just want a thing of water on my desk for the whole day. I guess it's like the water bottle of being at home because it's like a big glass that fills like it's three cups of water. So you could just keep it.
I do like, I think the Fireflies in Colombia for beers there, they should put them in mason jars. I think that'll fit the theme a little bit.
I think that sounds like baseball fans, you don't want to give them glass. I think you want to give them plastic.
That is true. That is true.
Obviously, I want to give a shout out to Mama Rabbit, my favorite small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any small business owners in your family?
My grandpa used to own a gas station.
My dad owns that car lot. And then I guess Jacob and Rachel, I guess, own their own like photography and wedding videography business. But I mean, oh man, yeah, I think that that's it for small business owners in my family. How about you, Adrian?
I think my granddad owned a deli in Guatemala, and that's about it. And he was a drug dealer, so.
There you go.
Mm. Yeah.
The roast beef was that good?
I don't think he was making roast beef. I don't know. I don't know what they serve at a Guatemalan deli.
It's like Firehouse Subs. They have hook and ladders.
Like a market or something. Yeah.
I mean, I now live in a part of town where there's a lot of like churn and turnover, and it does kind of make you sad because like you'll go try a place and you'll be like, it was pretty good, and you could tell they were so like they'd opened a couple months ago and they were so happy to have a customer, and I know they're gonna fail soon. And it's like,
wait, how's the Italian deli gelato?
Damn.
Now there's a Uyghur place there that is not good, but it's actually getting way more business, so I think they're playing social media way better than Amy's was.
Do you guys know any, like, do you guys like know the owner of a place that you go to?
Oh, through I know the owner of a Pelicans.
Oh, he doesn't have that anymore.
Oh, damn.
He sold that and his roofing business went under, so now he has to go work back to working for someone else.
Damn.
Yeah, you hate to see it. Do you guys still feel good about shopping local, or does that, do you guys care about that at all anymore? Does society care about that anymore?
Okay. I don't know if society does, but I kind of care about that. But I guess, like, but I still put, like, my financial, like, limits over small businesses. You know what I mean? Like, I won't go shop at, like, Rosewood Market opposed to, like, Food Lion because I'm like, I can't spend that much money on groceries.
I go in there and, like, you look at the people who are doing, like, produce shopping there and you're like, man, you're in a different, you're in a whole different world. There's not even a tax bracket for you. You're living something crazy.
Yeah.
And then there's that thing, too, where it's like, obviously, I also prefer shopping small business or like eating at a local restaurant, but so many of them also like famously treat their employees bad. Like a lot of them, you just hear horror stories because there's so much more like,
well, there's
a lot of
labor laws where like once you have 15 employees, you have to start abiding by them. But if you're below that, you can do whatever the fuck you want to people.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And it's like a lot of people who work for small businesses are like, fuck this place and just go to wherever.
I haven't heard that with a lot of Columbia small businesses, but I'm sure that's a thing. I don't know. But I guess, I don't know.
Drip Coffee.
Like,
one of our trans friends got pushed out of Drip
that's
Coffee.
That's true.
Yeah.
For being trans?
That was their side of the story. I don't know the full story, but yeah, basically she said that people were uncomfortable with her being there.
God damn.
Yeah.
I never liked Drip Coffee. I'll say it. I don't know. It was never my thing.
Drip is awesome. I still go.
It was
well. They became corporate, Adrian. I heard this from Patrick. They replaced the handwritten menus. They like.
Yep, that's true. They sold the business, and it's all different now. Yeah.
Okay.
But they didn't put more space in it, so it's like they didn't make it better at all. They just replaced the menu.
What are they supposed to do? Take over Scooby Doo? A hostile takeover?
Or maybe just take away some tables and have some leg room. I was just always felt cramped in there. It was like I was stuffed in a van or something. And people are like, don't you like this? Now here's a really fragile china plate with your coffee on it. And here's the pot to pour it in.
Oh, I love the dishware there.
It was, they gave you like three things of dishware. And then they're like cramming this little wooden booth. It's creaky, by the way. It's not safe. It's like, hey, there's so many things about that coffee shop. I was like, just, hey, y'all need to close and just refigure things out a little bit.
You can't make me hate Drip. And just because you thought you could self-service your own table at the Main Street location and you ended up breaking 15 bottles of beer.
Listen, that's the Main Street one. I had no problem with that. That's on me. I'll hold that L. But the one in Five Points, if you did a cartwheel in the one in Five Points, six people would die. there's no room to do anything in that. Besides, slowly walk to your booth with all these dishes.
They should make one half of MBT a new Drip. That's what they should do.
If you did the Macarena and Drip, it would explode. The building would catch on fire. When they open the cash register and Drip, a flood happens.
Obviously, like for a lot of people, being your own boss and owning your own business is like the dream. Is that, for me, that doesn't really ring true. I'm not like working towards having enough money to open my own little shop, but you guys, is there a dream?
I wouldn't mind if I was like older and like retired, if I had a little like stand at the farmer's market and sold some bullshit.
We start selling your mom's recipe of salsa or something like that.
I would think I would make my own greeting cards and write like bars in them, you know, some nice puns, some original wordplay, you know, and it'd be all types of events.
Okay, so you would do greeting cards. I think I would probably, actually, I was making a joke about it, but yeah, maybe like some kind of consumer package good is what I would do. I would brand my own like black beans or salsa or something, do some of my mom's recipes.
I'll start a B2B SaaS company.
A what?
B2B SaaS, business to business software as a service.
Oh, okay. If I saw that at a farmer's market, I'd be like, what the fuck is this? As I'm eating Adrian's salsa, like, what the fuck is this?
No, I changed my answer. I would start one of those companies where we provide beehives for your like rooftop garden for businesses.
You lease out beehives. That's cool.
But I would be really bad at it. I'll just release bees
in the farmer's market. Just local vendors just running around screaming. Ooh, I would sell those fake owls that people put in their yard to scare away predators for their little dogs.
Okay.
But they're all OVO owls, like the Drake OVO logo.
So they're attracting predators.
How did we both start to clap at the same time? How did we know that was what we were supposed to do?
Oh, man, that's good. That's good.
All right. Are y'all feeling like it's about time to get into a column?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. When we were doing small businesses, I thought, what is the most stereotypical small business in my mind? Car dealership. That's the when somebody says small business, it's like either that or a little restaurant or bar. So I brought in an Ask a Manager about car dealerships. My company makes summer interns wear bikinis. This is from August of 2025. I work at a car dealership, and recently we hired two college interns to work here for 6 months. Every summer, we have an event at the dealership themed around summer, and usually it's just marketed at some sort of summer blowout sale. This summer, since hiring the two interns, it has been remarketed as Summer Beach Day by our male dealership manager. The dealership is 80% male employees and managers. Our interns are women aged 21 and 19 and were brought into the manager's office and I believe pressured to agree to a new uniform for the rest of the summer. You guessed it, bikinis. Then, as if that wasn't enough, 2 weeks later, they changed the uniform and handed the girls thong bikinis. So now we have two young ladies selling cars all day, walking around with their bare bums on display for all the customers and staff to see. The male customers certainly love this, it seems, and many times the manager has asked the young women to hold a sign out on the street wearing their bikinis. The dealership manager even had them pose for photographs and posted them on social media for marketing. A couple of the pictures were from the front, but one was from behind. So now the dealership is posting photos of our interns' asses on social media on a weekly basis. The young women seemed a bit uncomfortable at first, but I'm not sure how they feel now. I am sure that they were pressured into this and that this was not the plan when they signed up to work here. I've gotten to know them both a bit and they are both so smart. I imagine in their minds they just have to deal with this on a temporary basis, but it's hard to watch. Maybe there's nothing that can be done, but should I ask them how they feel about their bums frequently being posted on social media and try to get the pictures removed?
Yeah, definitely. They should. You should talk to them and be like, "Hey, y'all good? Y'all want to do this?" Like,
this is not a happy Honda days.
I mean, even if they want to, even if they were insistent that they were like, "Yeah, we're cool with this," I would still be like, "Nah." Just yeah, to like, the manager, I would be like, I mean, not to sound like a white knight, cuck, lib, soy boy, but that is insane work.
Yeah.
What are the 20% of women who work there doing right now? What are they doing? Is it on them? I know it's not on them, but like, what are they doing?
Adrian, are you worried about the older women who feel left out? Who feel like they're being told they're ugly?
That's the issue.
I was about to say the question asker, what if he just seems left out? It's like, should I talk to them and just see like... if they want me to wear the bikinis, I'll do it. Like, if that's the case, like, I don't want them to have
in someone's mind, that is their idea of a protest, is making all the males wear a bikini. All the males, all the men.
It's weird because, like, when you were first introducing this column, I was thinking, like, oh, they're in bikinis and they're washing cars because I've seen, like, car washes do that. But an actual dealership, like, they're just out there, like, so they're just holding signs to be like, come on in and buy a car. And then they talk to just like a man about buying a car for like an hour and a half. Like they spend the whole day there talking to a guy. And then they're just like, yeah, but you remember that girl you saw on the way in? Like, I wonder, What reels people in to come buy a car just because they saw a girl with a bikini on the street?
2 points to that. Have you actually seen a bikini car wash, or have you just seen that in media? Because I've only ever seen it like as a trope in shows.
Yeah, I just seen it as a trope in shows or like media, yeah. I've never seen it in person.
Mm.
I don't go to them every summer, like with my
That does feel like, if it ever did happen, it feels like a California thing or maybe like a Texas thing. I don't know. The East Coast isn't doing bikini car washes.
You don't think they're doing that in Brooklyn?
But yeah, I see what you're saying, Phil. Like, it's like, how is this even working? Who's the dumb guy who's like, ooh, bikini babe, pulls in and then spends 5 hours talking to a sales rep?
He said it's a hit with the customers.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah. I'm surprised they're posting pictures of them from behind on social media.
Yeah.
Do you think
there's
any chance
there's going to be this?
Oh,
with
yeah.
With his used car lot?
My dad, you said?
Yeah.
Well, it's literally just him that works there. And then I think like his friend.
So ever wore the bikini?
They wear bikinis. Like, what? Where y'all going? They're going Toyota? I did watch Cars at his lot in high school. He never made me wear a bikini, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, interesting.
Like that, you know, I could charge a little bit extra scratch if I wear a bikini.
Couple more bones. So what are they supposed to be learning in this internship? I guess, are they hired to be paid? It sounded like they were paid.
Maybe they're paid, maybe they're not.
If you're doing this for free, that's crazy. You gotta just leave.
I better say, yeah.
The posting on social media is crazy. That's crazy work.
I mean, already getting interns who are there to actually get work experience to just be your Hooters employees is already beyond
the
pale.
What if it's a Seinfeld and it's his daughters?
Oh.
What if it's nepotism on top of everything else?
Buy them a burkini and be like, technically, it works.
Ooh. I think it's crazy to me that they have to go back to college in the fall and talk about the work experience they got over the summer.
That's so true. Like, they're getting credit for this. This is a credit for their, like, small business class.
Do you think maybe it's not necessarily just the small business they're doing this with, but it's the town? So if they go down the street and work for like a bakery, they're like, yeah, you know, we're doing the whole summer blowout sale. We think young go out front in bikinis and advertise our muffins.
It's like car washes, Twin Peaks, Hooter Styles restaurants. There's only a select amount of places where society has deemed it acceptable to do like scantily clad women.
Ring
as, like,
girl
your
URL.
Business model. Yeah, ooh, ring girls. Yeah. But car dealership isn't one of those. I feel like if I went to a car dealership and saw bikini women, I'd be like, this is confusing and upsetting. There isn't a such thing as a bikini dealership.
You just don't got the vision. That's why you could never be a small business owner.
What other businesses? I guess kind of like Phil said with the muffin shop. Like, what other businesses can be bikini-fied?
Lizard's Thicket, just working a hot griddle.
Be so dangerous. Just like people with burn marks all over them. Like, you want pancake soup? Okay, so the question, though, is, like, should I talk to these women and see if they are comfortable with this or if they feel uncomfortable with
it? I feel like even if they're comfortable with it, it's not about talking to the women. You got to talk to the manager and be like, this is completely not okay to do, especially with interns. If you want to hire bikini women, you got to hire them with the job role of bikini women. That has to be part of the job description when they sign up. You cannot switch up an internship role.
All right, let's say I'm the boss, all right? I'm the boss, and y'all are maybe two of the male car salesmen, right? And y'all come into my office, and y'all confront me about this, all right?
All right, Phil, it is completely inappropriate for you to be asking our 19 and 21-year-old intern to wear bikinis and taking pictures of them and putting them up on Instagram.
Oh, I don't handle the social media account. And then I keep on typing on the computer.
You're the one who asked them to wear the bikini.
Oh, it's the summer. So, I mean, I don't know what else they were wearing to the beach.
But I wanted to wear a bikini and you told me no.
You wear a bikini, just not at work. It's not appropriate.
I'm not much help here.
Adrian, bro, can you help me out?
Adrian, my name's not Adrian. My name's Officer Jones.
Why did you bring a police officer in here? You won't follow your fire.
No, my first name is Officer. My last name is Jones.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
Officer Adrian
Officer,
Jones.
Officer, you have sold so many cars this month. I'm so proud of you. Anything? Any suggestions? You want to put in a suggestion about any advice I can do better as a manager?
I would prefer for there not to be perpetual sexual harassment in the office place.
I agree with that because we got this salesman, Paul, coming in here talking about the ladies in the bikinis, and I'm like, I'm not trying to think about that right now, right? The customers need to think about that, not me. So it's kind of harassing. Good point.
You're right. That was fucked up of me.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? As your punishment, you have to wear a bikini tomorrow to work.
So you agree it's a punishment.
For men, yeah, but I think women should be comfortable in their bodies. Do you not think so, Paul? Paul, there are 7 Nissan Leafs on this lot that you were assigned to sell, and you haven't sold shit.
It's because the bikini girls are taking all my business. That's why I don't want them to be allowed to wear bikinis.
We should dress them up in safari outfits, because there's so many Leafs on the lot, it's like a fucking jungle. You agree, officer?
Officer. Pretty good. Pretty good. 7 leaves is a jungle.
7 leaves. Oh, I was just saying so many leaves, so I think the joke still landed pretty good.
All
what
right,
do you
I'm
say,
gonna Paul? Do like a Nissan and leaf. That's I think I got the last word in.
I'm gonna write you up for that.
That's I'm gonna do like a Nissan and alter my attitude.
See, that's good, officer. This is the energy I wanted to work. You know what, officer? I'm gonna do like a Nissan and maximize your paycheck this week.
Hey, thank you. I'm going to do like a Nissan and spit a hot verse fire right now. Hit him with the venom in a bit of it.
We both try rapping. Paul, how are you going to be like a Nissan this month? I'm like taking notes. Paul, how are you going to be like a Nissan this month? Do something with Pathfinder. Okay, now let's reverse the roles, okay? Let's say y'all two are like the co-owners of this local business, right? And oh, okay. I'm one of the male salesmen that come in. Okay.
Yeah, let's see how you would handle this, big guy.
All right. Can I come in?
No.
All right. 30 minutes pass. Please?
Come in. As Phil enters, Paul's buckling up his pants real quick, and Adrian's getting out from under the desk.
My name's not Adrian.
Officer Jones is quickly getting out from under the desk.
Hey, what were y'all doing under there? What was the officer doing?
He dropped his glasses. He was looking for them. He dropped his badge.
I can't see
without
my badge
and gun.
Why were your pants unbuckled?
Because they were limiting my mobility while we were looking for Officer Jones' badge and gun.
Y'all were in the same pants. It wasn't limiting officer's mobility? Why do y'all have matching pants?
He lost his pants because they got wet when he was on the floor looking for a gun. So I said we could wear the same pants.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well,
clearly
okay.
This is a business that does not care about sexual harassment, so I'm excited to see where this goes.
Clearly, this is a mismanaged business in general. If one of them is losing their pants, if one of the owners lost their pants in their own office, and he has to have... sorry about that. I'm sorry. So, first off, I just want to say I went ahead and sold that Toyota Prius that was out there. So, yeah. I know we've been trying to push that for a while. So now we have all Nissan Leafs on the lot per y'all's request.
We don't sell Priuses here. That was just a customer's car. Writing you up for
that. Okay, that's cool. I'll take it in my first write-up ever. So I was thinking about, you know, we have these like summer interns, you know, Chloe and Jennifer. They're very nice. They're cool. But do you know they're like comfortable with being in bikinis out
wait,
there?
Wait,
like,
Chloe and Jennifer? You mean B cup and C cup?
I forgot that those are their nicknames that they told us they want to be. It's on their name tag, yeah. So I assume they made those
name
tags.
Which, by the way, remind me to get them new name tags because they said it wasn't pinning onto their bikinis as well as onto their office clothes. So, Phil, can you take care of that? Can you make them new name tags that are a little smaller?
Bottom line that, Phil.
Yeah, sure. Of course. So this is an unpaid internship. Are y'all paying them extra to do the bikini stuff? Or is this just like...
That would make it weird.
Unpaid intern. We're not in accounting.
You're right. My bad. Where is accounting?
We're not nerds here. We don't know where accounting is. We're management.
Hold on, let me go look for accounting. I walk into accounting. Y'all are the two co-accountants for the business, right?
Zip.
Can I come in?
Zip. Yeah, now that I'm done zipping my pants up.
I heard y'all verbally like say zip. It's almost like y'all are trying to get caught doing something that's a little bit off. Hey, so the bosses, Officer Jones and Paul, I believe it was.
I'm also Paul.
Oh, okay, my Paul. And then
I've
what's
never
your
met
name
him. I don't think he knows that we work here.
I asked them about accounting and they said we're not nerds. So I don't know if they know have an account. Y'all, yeah. Okay, y'all are nice. Nice. And what was your name?
Bulus.
Bulus?
Mm-hmm.
Like the animal bull and then loose?
Yeah.
The bull's loose? Okay. These sound like some pretty cool dudes. Okay. So are the interns, the summer interns, Chloe and Jennifer, are they getting...
They haven't worked here for 30 years.
That's true. We're accounting. We would know that.
Oh, God, maybe I'll trip. Oh, B cup and C cup. My bad. B cup and C cup.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Are they getting paid for their internship?
Well, we'll answer at the same time. Yes.
No. Yes.
I would prefer if y'all answer separately so I can hear what y'all said.
No and yes. One of them is. The other
one,
no,
of them is, one of them is.
But if you ask one of them will always lie and the other will always tell the truth.
Can y'all tell me which one is telling the truth and then I'll go ask them real quick.
You gotta figure it out.
Okay, let me go to Chloe and Jennifer real quick. I'll be back. All right, Chloe and Jennifer in their break room.
Untied.
How did y'all... Wait, y'all have zips on y'all's bikinis?
Why untied it? That's why I untied it.
And why are y'all both unzipping?
Now. One of the employees gave me a really good tip.
Problem solved.
Oh, nice. Cool, cool. Hey, are y'all getting paid for this internship? And you know what? Jennifer, answer first. Is it Jennifer?
No.
It's C cup?
Also no.
No.
So it's B cup. Okay. B cup, can you let me know if you're getting paid for this internship?
Yes.
All right. Now, B cup, are you getting paid for this internship?
Yes.
Okay. And one of y'all was lying. Okay. So I guess only one of y'all was not getting paid then, and the other one is. Okay. Very interesting program.
Look, I didn't hear you talking to accounting, but I think you already had that information. I would have to guess.
Hmm. I did talk to accounting.
No cap.
Let's get into Allison Green's answer.
Yeah.
Please talk to them and tell them if they don't want to wear bikinis at work, you will support them in pushing back, that this isn't something they're obligated to do and they have a right to refuse to do it. Ideally, you'll also tell them that you'll enlist other coworkers in supporting their stance, if that helps them be more comfortable refusing, assuming you have decent colleagues who would in fact stand up for them once asked to. They work at a car dealership. Allison Green, no, they do not have decent colleagues. Let them know that you can also say
Hunter's brother.
Let them know that you can also say no to the photos and can ask to have the ones that were already posted removed if you want to. I suppose it's possible that you will find out that they're enthusiastically consenting to all this, but have the conversation since they might not. But have the conversation since they might not realize their options. And even if they end up not pushing back on it, you'll very likely be planting a seed in their thinking for the future. You might also tell whoever's in charge of hiring that if they're going to ask this of future interns, they need to make it clear it's part of the job before anyone signs on. I feel like that final part was kind of the most important part. This isn't really so much about these two interns, which, I mean, it is in the sense of you need to make sure that they're not being, like, harassed and abused. But once that's done, it's also just not okay at a base level to hire someone and switch up the job like that.
Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah. But do you think, this is a non-sarcastic question, this is like for real question, do you think these interns, when they go back to class and they present, you know, like what they learned from their internship, they could probably make a project to be like how like horribly they were treated and make it like, make that the whole theme, you know?
I thought you were going to say they should present in bikinis. That's honestly what I thought you were going to say when you said, I'm not joking about this. Okay, well, you guys want to get into another column?
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, I'm down.
So I'm bringing in from Printed Media Center, Ask Rock, When the Family Business Gets Personal by Deborah Korn. This is Ask Rock, a monthly advice column where industry expert Rock LaManna will answer your questions on topics such as key financials for your business and how it can lead to profitable organic growth and other stuff. All right, here we go. Dear Rock, our company is at an impasse. We are a family business, and there are some personal conflicts that are spilling over into our business decisions. Specifically, there is the matter of my father nearing retirement age with no clear designation of what the company will do when he's gone. My father has done a fantastic job growing the company, but he's having troubles letting go and passing it on to his kids. Part of the issue might be that it's his company, and he built it. Part of it might also be that my brother and I, we are the only two involved in the family, are a bit at odds, primarily because his wife tends to think more about herself and money, and less about the long-term benefits of the company. I know you give advice on financial matters for a company, but what do you do when personal problems affect your business decisions?
I like that they didn't offer even the brother's point of view about what's wrong with himself. It's just... Yeah, we're at an impasse because his wife is, you know, like a greedy bitch.
That's all I need to know.
Just know, and he thinks I'm such and such. Like, no,
and he thinks I'm too cool.
Yeah. No attempt to give the other side.
All right, boys. Well, what do we know from watching Succession and Empire and other movie, King and Hamlet?
I've never seen either of those, so I don't really know.
You didn't watch any of Empire? That was fun back in the day. It was terrible, but it was fun.
So, okay, just to get this straight, like, they just want some kind of clear outline of, like, what's going to happen to the business when he dies.
Yeah, Dad's not going to live forever.
Well, not even that. It seems like they want power now. But
yeah, this is what it kind of seems like. It's kind of like they want to know now that they're going to get the business once their dad retires. But
or even, like, they want to become president or they want to start leading and making decisions now, not even, like, a plan so much as they want him to start giving them, like, higher roles.
Yeah, and but also it's like, I guess the dad could what's the other option besides give it to your kids? Just close down or sell the business?
Hire someone else who knows what they're doing?
Yeah. Promote from the inside? I mean, I guess they would always have equity because it's their dad's business, but you could promote somebody else before you die. And, well, I guess then they would be like, they could get rid of whoever he hired.
Is it presumed that the kids work for the business?
Yeah, they said they're both involved.
Oh, okay.
Phil, would you take over your dad's business if he asked?
No, I mean...
Would you kill your brothers to get first shot at it?
Yes, but no, I don't want the business. No, I don't want a car dealership, though. I don't know. I feel like leaving a business behind to your kids is something that y'all would both have to agree with, you know?
What do you think will happen? Like, will somebody buy you out? Or do you think your dad is planning to hand it all to one child who's the most interested? Or do you think you'll all get equity and one person will buy out the other two and take control of it?
In a hostile takeover?
I feel like he would be most fair with it and just kind of give it to all three of us if he didn't just close down. But, like, he's closing down his lot this year. And, like, so, like, he is, just closing it down. That was his plan. But what he's doing, he's just taking all the cars to the auction when he closes down and selling all the cars. And then it's just,
so there'll only be money, yeah.
Yeah, but also, like, the property that he runs the business on, he rents that property. So it's not like, I mean, I guess he could hand down the business. We would get, like, the name and we would...
Well, you could do what he did. If you didn't want to run it, you could go sell all the cars at auction. It's kind of nice that he's doing it ahead of time so you don't have to figure it all out.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, like, he's keeping that money, like, for retirement, like, when he sells those cars, you know? Like, I don't think he's, like... I don't know. I guess it's different with, like, a car dealership because you still have so much, like, assets to get rid of where it's, like... I don't know. It's interesting. Like, retirement, I don't know. This is such an interesting question because it's like, yeah, I want to know what type of business it is. Like, does he sell stuff necessarily? Like big things like cars?
OnlyFans.
Like, he's only.
I mean, even if you don't.
He has an OnlyFans account and his kids want the password.
Even if you don't, there'll be some value to liquidate. Like, even if you're not selling goods, there'll be, like, the business will have value somehow and you'll have to either sell it off or keep running it.
Yeah, because they probably did build up a brand, you know? It's kind of like, okay, for example, like, if Curiosity Coffee, if, like, the owners, they wanted to retire, if they gave it to their kids, that business would still flourish, you know? As long as they don't change too much stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they would have to sell a lot of stuff in that business to close down.
When Mama Rabbit takes her long hop to meet her lord, the little bunnies are going to have to take over.
And God's like, took long enough.
Come on now.
Hop for a while. Daughter rabbits, that'd be cute. We storm all government buildings.
This is what happened with the penguin in Charlotte, and the daughter basically sold off, like, the company to some other people, but the managers were like, whoa, we want to keep running it, but she kind of sold off the brand, so they opened their own place.
Damn.
That was, like, seen more locally as, like, you know, the actual successor to the business than the actual penguin.
If you own a business, though, and it's like you don't have family working there, I feel like there should really be no ties to the employees in that sense to where it's like, yeah, I mean, you're going to do what's best for you. That's selfish, but it's like at the same time, it's like if you built this restaurant from the ground up, you know, you shouldn't be like, oh, but the manager that I hired really wants to run it. It's like maybe you would cut them a deal, but at the same time, it's like you shouldn't. And this sounds so bad, but I think it's true, though. It's like, I don't know, like, the owner of 116, when he sold the business, he wasn't, like, offering the head managers and bartenders, like, do y'all want to buy the business? Or maybe he did offer it, but it was, like, it's worth so much money.
I would personally think, out of respect for your customers, if they've been running it and they have some capital, you should let them get first dibs at it because they're the people who will keep running it that way for your customers. Whereas if you sell it to some rando and the managers don't like the direction they're taking it, then it's just going to become a different restaurant with the same name. You know what I mean?
But you're going to ruin your legacy.
Obviously, you're right. Like, it's not like, oh, they get equity just because they've been managing it for a while. But I think there's, I don't know. There is something to say about, yeah.
Cut them a better deal for buying the business. Actually, I think 116 did do that with some of the employees, like John and Patrick, I think. I think he did offer them, like, hey, y'all go buy this restaurant. But it's like, I don't know about their finances.
But that wasn't him retiring. That was like the restaurant's failing, right? So they're like, failing restaurant.
That was him retiring. 116 was doing great, but he was just wanting to retire because he had two kids already. He made enough money, like, and his wife was a nurse. So, like, yeah, he was just wanting to get out the game.
Went out on top.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, yeah, there might be more money to be made just selling it off randomly. And I mean, that's always going to be like important to people too.
Yeah.
When y'all want to stop recording the podcast, are y'all going to hand down Big Facts No Cap to anybody?
No, we're taking the ship down with us.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that. How about like one of your parents owned something cool, like a really cool food truck or something, and they were like, hey, we'll pass it down to you when we retire. Would you do that? Like, would you leave your job right now, Paul, and make a little less money, but you have a really cool job?
No. Like I said earlier, I don't like the idea of being tied to a like a small business I own. It seems so risky, and I get it's like how you make a ton of money and escape the 9-to-5 grind, but I personally think I just like having a steady paycheck.
I don't want to have to pay for my own healthcare.
If it was a bigger company, like, hell yeah. Like, if it's one of those cushy exec jobs or something.
Yeah,
what if
you were Sam Walton's daughter?
A cushy exec job where you really can't fuck it up because so many people are actually just doing the work for you? Sure.
You don't want to do the narrative where you're, like, the greedy son who comes in and ruins everything by penny-pinching everything?
Oh, I would ruin everything because I'm not, like, very talented at managing people or
you make everybody wear bikinis?
I would hire Adria just to make him wear a bikini.
Well, now you're making money.
Hey, come on now.
It is funny how much, like, I'm sure this is very low stakes, but this type of family drama where you're like, oh, my sister-in-law, she's just greedy. It's like, I'm sure it's more complicated like that. And it's funny how often this sort of narrative recreates itself. Mm. Like, I mean, I guess it's the reason Adria made that joke, like, why this is such a common, like, show type. Dysfunctional family trying to figure out who runs the family business.
Yeah, because it's like you've got like the successful son, but he's gay.
Yeah.
And you have the other son who was never really a star. And then you got the young one who's too much of a fuck up to trust with the business. Mm. Y'all really didn't watch Empire? It was fun for a couple seasons. My favorite scene was when it's the patriarch handing a phone playing a new song of this new hit rapper that he is trying to sign. And she listens to the song for literally less than a second, goes, that's a hit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh my god, they had original music and everything. It was a fun time.
That was a big part of Highest to Lowest, was him listening to music and being like, I got the best year in the business and that's a hit.
Mm.
Do you think when like a local business is passed down from like a father or mother to like one of their children, there's like a notion around it where it's like, oh, the kid just has it. This is like not nepotism, you know what I mean? That's not the right word, but it's kind of like, oh,
that
they just
seems
have this
like a modern day thing. I think back in the old days, no one cared. That's just what happened. But now it's seen as like you're a nepo baby.
I think you should just blatantly ask them both, like in the same room too. You know what I mean? Because it's there is that whole like it's kind of like a trope where it's like, oh, his new wife, who's not our biological mom, is very greedy with the money. We don't trust her.
No, this
or
is a brother's wife. Not so it would be sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's like, my brother shouldn't get the company because my brother's wife is greedy.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it should be all the siblings should sit down with the dad and just ask him up front, be like, what's the plans? Because you're retiring like next year. What? Like,
you need to give one of us more power.
Man, it's
you need to put one of us on track to replace you, and you need to pick now, old man.
If
you
hold
a knife to his neck.
I mean, I think they should have all equal power, but with them being like the brother has a greedy
wife. Is
that
true? Is that just an egalitarian thing?
You're going to be co-presidents?
Do you not actually think you could look at your children and be like, this one would actually run it well?
once again, they both get equal equity. So it's about who, I think, I mean, if you're a good parent and you love them both equally, they both get equal equity. But it's like who actually gets to run it. It is crazy when these types of rich old men are salty against one kid. They don't like him for some reason and don't like give them equal stuff in the will. That is so shitty.
Yeah, because he went to college. College boy doesn't get in my business.
Or from what you told me about Empire, because they're gay.
Yeah, that's true. Shout out Jussie Smollett.
I don't think he did anything wrong.
I do wonder, like, how long all the siblings have been working at the business, and if there's one in particular that has been working there way longer than the other two siblings. They're like, one just got an internship there, something like that, and his dad's
Yeah, it
like,
seems like two of them are two really involved, so then it's just seniority. It would just be who's older, I guess, would probably be the person with more years. But
yeah, I guess
that seems
so.
Like a dumb way to
do
choose.
Do you think P. Diddy had this issue with which one of his kids gets to take over his sex crimes empire?
And they were like, we don't want it. He was like, it's got to be somebody.
Got to be one of you guys.
I want to be a good dad.
Whoever gets the golden bottle of baby lube. That's how you know who gets to succeed me.
Now open your presents. See who got it. This is what I would do. I would just take the cash payout. If you think that the brother's going to get seniority, just ask your dad, like, hey, whatever share you're going to give me, whatever monetary value that equals right now, just give that to me because I don't want to be part of this business and lose money.
Oh. You're doing an iWalk for this business.
I'm not even saying, I'm just saying like-
If I don't get to run it, I don't want any part of it. I walk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that, but also I would just say like, I'd rather just monetary value now.
You want all of the value of the shares for the one red box that I own?
Yes, Dad, I would rather have $10 now than 40 in the future.
I don't understand delayed gratification.
Do you guys know somebody who runs a red box? Because this comes up a lot.
I just like saying a red box when it comes to small businesses. It's a little stupid joke I have. Yeah, I would just ask for the monetary value. It might not be much. I would, but it's like you don't want to risk losing money. And if you think your brother is going to be that bad at running
it depends on the kind of business it is. I would ask for the monetary value plus free meals for life if it was a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And then you run them under by eating there every day.
You invite all your friends to go eat there with you.
What is a very specific food, though? You're not going to be in the mood for, like, lasagna every day. My bad. I didn't see that Adrian has a Garfield shirt on right now. He does like lasagna a lot.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Check, please. And if it was a car lot, I'd get unlimited cars forever.
It's, like, so much value that you're asking. Oh, and I can use the shitter whenever I need to go poop. I get a key.
Do you want to read the answer? Unless we have any more ideas.
All right, so let me start out by saying that we begin any analysis of a business problem by looking at the financials, even if there is a personal problem. In fact, especially if there's a family business conflict. In a family business, the family structure and the business structure will overlap. In your case, they're overlapping too far, and your father's sound business decision is being clouded by the emotional complication of his son's conflict. At some point, your father needs to sit down and analyze his future, whether he's going to go with the business, how the company will run when he leaves, etc. But that time is not right now. The first thing your father needs to do is talk about his problems. I don't doubt that he's got a lot on his mind, and if he's anything like the entrepreneurs I know, he's keeping it bottled up inside, thinking he can fix it for himself. He needs to talk to someone about the problem. If he can talk about it, just take that first step. And then he can start to figure out the next step, and the step after that. Eventually, he will get to the financials where all the decisions can be reached. But for right now, you need to get him to talk to someone trained in dealing with conflict resolution and or family counseling. Of all the answers that were going to be get therapy, I didn't think that was going to be the one where therapy was the answer.
So it's literally just help him make a decision by giving him
emotional
support.
By getting him into talk therapy, yeah. All right, you guys want to get into a third seggy?
Let's do it.
All right, so this is from cheeseburger.com, premier news outlet, meme base, 21 satisfying times business owners clap back at bad reviews. While we appreciate how wonderfully world-opening the internet is, there are some serious drawbacks to everyone feeling that they have a soapbox. There's no greater example of this than restaurant reviews from rude and entitled people. Yelp gives obnoxious people another outlet for, well, being obnoxious. Fortunately, some business owners refuse to let the aggression stand and opt to bite right back. So we're going to read through these. I guess we can read the mean comment first and then say what we would say, what our clapback would be. and then read what the what cheeseburger.com has decided is the epic clapback that actually happened. All right, first one. One star. 5 months ago. One word. Bad. My response would be like, I think you meant to type this into YouTube plus Michael Jackson music video. Because you can't be talking about my restaurant saying that.
Say, eat my ass, will you dirty motherfucker. I'm a small business owner.
I'm going to find you and your family.
I've worked hard to get where I am.
Does that one star represent the one Michelin star we have? And you're just like an Andy's Deli or something. It's like a really shitty deli.
Oh, you know what I would do? I would say, is this like bad, like good bad, like in Fresh Prince, or like bad bad? Could you clarify which way you're meaning it?
Yeah, they don't respond. You just run back. Like, hey, just want to follow up on this.
I'm going to stick my hand down your throat and pull your intestines out while you watch. You say that shit again.
Yeah, you don't post. You don't type it out. You post a video of you saying this to your computer.
And these owners bite right back. All right, this is from Raymond's, the owner. It is unfortunate that you have posted such a terrible review, given that you have never eaten at our restaurant. You are our neighbor at Paris Jeweler. By the way, a nice 5-star review you gave yourself.
I like mine more.
So they just identified them in real life, I guess.
Yeah.
They doxed them. They doxed their ass.
Hey, we found out who you were.
All right, Phil, do you want to do the next one?
Yeah, okay. One star.
From Scott E.
From Scott E. One star review. Walked in at 10:20 a.m. for bacon, egg, and cheese. I was told they were done.
I believe it's a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese. All one word, no spaces. I was told they were done serving breakfast. Seems strange not to serve breakfast at breakfast. I kindly brought it up and was told not to come back. Horrible customer service. Don't worry, I won't come back. I would respond, don't ever comment on our page. Don't leave a review ever again on our page.
Yeah, I would say breakfast ends at 10 a.m. Unless you're unemployed, broke boy. You got a dollar I can borrow? That's what I thought. And then you start doing a little money
spray. You need a job? You good? You need a job?
You need a job? You good? We can help you out.
We're hiring for the breakfast shift, which is 6 to 10. In case you forgot. Seems like you forget.
I would say if I ever caught you in a back alley, I would slit you with my knife. Throat to dick. And pull you open like a fucking book.
What I found out from that is that Paul opens up books really aggressively.
Open you like a book.
Open you like a book.
I'd fill you with Thanksgiving stuffing and throw you in the oven and watch you bake.
And I would serve you for breakfast at 10:05 a.m. apparently.
All right, this is the comment from Umberto M. of Park Italian Gourmet. If I remember correctly, you were not kind at all. We could leave it at that. Regardless, our policy, which is on display, is that breakfast stops at 10 a.m. And I'm not worried, because if you came back, I'd kick you out again.
Damn.
Next up, we got ordered a waffle to find a fingernail and a hair on my food. Absolutely shocking customer service, as I was told I would have to wait another hour to get a fresh one. I asked for a refund, but never received one. Wouldn't send my worst enemy here.
I would ask, are you sure it wasn't your fingernail in your hair?
Paul, what would your response be?
I would say, post again, and I'll fucking find you, put you in my van, drive you back to my cabin in the woods, tie you to a table, rip off your finger, your fingernail, and your hair. Wait, this is getting too much. I'm sorry.
That's typed out. Wait, this is getting too much.
Click, click, click.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That was actually way too far. I apologize. I'm having a tough day. Much like you'll be having in my basement while you're stuck there, and I rip you bit by bit into a bunch of tiny little pieces and dispose of you in the middle of the woods.
Like a waffle.
Like a waffle. Maybe a comment back be like, but you ordered the waffle and fingernail and hair. Hold up.
Wait a minute. I got the receipt right here.
Yeah. Post a picture you show the Photoshop receipt.
20 cents extra, add hair, add fingernail. Okay, the actual response from the owner. Our restaurant is not open yet, so this is impossible. We open May 12th, just in case anyone thinks this is remotely true. That is the best one so far. That's a good
one. I like that the next one is 2 stars.
Oh, this is from TripAdvisor. Okay. The service was good. The food wasn't good. The lobster, parentheses, to start the sentence, crazy way to start a sentence. The lobster. We had a reservation at 1900, and we came a little late and our table were given away after 10 minutes, although there were plenty of empty tables.
Oh, it'd be like, we don't serve lobster. Where'd you get that?
Oh, so you're just going to do what the other one guy did and just hope that that's true. It seems weird to say that the service was good, but your main complaint is that they didn't give you a table, which seems like a service issue.
Yeah, that's true. Or I guess their service while they were sitting. Oh, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. The table was given away, but there were plenty of empty tables. Like, I wonder if they requested a specific table.
I mean, you've worked at a restaurant. Isn't that like one of those things where like tables can be empty, but they're still reserved or something? Or like they're not, there's no one working that section? Or is there a justification for that?
Oh, I see what they mean. So they came in, they said like, oh, your table, like, you know, we don't have a table for you, but there's empty tables. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, damn. Yeah, that's one of those things. It's just a restaurant thing. It's kind of hard to say the service is bad because of that. You know, it's a logistics issue. It's hard.
I would say 1900. What do you think? You're the army dweeb?
Yeah. True. Manager at Noah Seafood Restaurant responded to this review. If you came late and your table was given away, how did you manage to eat the lobster that we don't sell? Phil!
Oh, shit! You got it! So it was true, yeah!
All right, Phil gets the Starbucks gift card. Damn. This episode.
All right, next one is...
You have
is,
to go to a unionized one, though.
One star. Terrible service, very condescending. Cakes were dry and unpalatable.
Palatable.
Palatable. Coffee was cold. Do not recommend this place. Easy. You ordered iced coffee.
I was going to say easy. We don't serve coffee or cake. We're a mechanic.
Yep.
I would say, hey, your name's literally Gay. Maybe take a step back, brother.
Like, yeah, we
this is from Gay Ryan. This guy's name is Gay Ryan. Did he go to high school in Lexington High School? Because otherwise, why does he have the name Gay?
Honestly, if he starts off the review by just being like, hey, Gay Ryan, he already wins. He's already winning at that point.
All right, Phil, let's hear the response.
Hi, Gay.
You're right.
Yeah,
he just starts by saying, Gay. Hey, Gay.
He already's winning. We thought you might write a bad review, but when your partner takes a cupcake off the wall, removes the topper, licks it, then places the lick topper back on the wall, we had to ask him to bring his lick topper and now dirty wall case to the front counter so that we could throw it out for him. We like to keep our store clean and would hate it if one of our other customers went to pick up that cupcake case and got a handful of your partner's licked topper. A pretty awkward encounter for everyone involved, really.
I'd reply to this with, lick my topper.
Ooh, okay, damn.
What the fuck are they talking about? I don't know. Do some places have like cupcakes and
very
cases
well
all around the store? What?
It sounds like they took one off in a display case or something.
But they made him carry the display case?
I don't know.
Jesus
that
carrying
one wasn't very
the cross?
Clear. I wouldn't call that one a slam dunk.
The worst restaurant in Miami. Overpriced food and low quality. For tandoori dishes, they used red or orange colorant. Merg 65 is a disgusting chicken under the bunch of Chinese-style sauce. Masala chai, it's just regular black tea with milk. Not authentic. Save your health and money.
I would say, worst restaurant in Miami? You know we have an Arby's here, right?
Okay, John Stewart.
I would say we never claim to be the best restaurant in Miami. We never claim to have good prices nor good quality. We never claim to have not disgusting chicken, and we never claim to have not a lot of Chinese-style sauce.
So
and
what are you getting on my ass for?
We never claim this stuff.
That's
never claim to be authentic.
I like that.
And we don't care about your health or your finances, so what are you even saying?
I like the ones where they claim something that's completely, like, unprovable about the customer and the clapback. So I just like the idea of a business owner doing that for every bad review, just making up a backstory for the customer. Be like, you walked in here with your dick out screaming Heil Hitler. It was not our... Like, just... I mean, because what's the proof that they actually know who this person is and their clapbacks? You know what I mean?
Well, what do they say?
You were recently fired from job for poor service and a lot of complaints from our guests. Yeah, another one where it's like, I don't know if that's true. You could just be making that up.
Oh, this is from your favorite kind of place, Phil. This is from Pig and Porter in Iowa City. One star, sat at the bar with my friend together for an hour and she never got served. Bartender was rude.
But you did? You sound like a bad friend. Oh, I like Phil's.
Wait, what did Phil say?
Your imaginary friend? You kind of saying you had an imaginary friend with you?
Mm-hmm. Must be, because no one real would be friends with you. Someone ugly like you? Someone chopped as you, Unk?
I like this. In a comma between each clause, like, someone, you idiot. Fuck you.
Fuck you, dude.
Fuck you, dude. What's up?
You came in with your dick out saying, how, Hitler?
I do like the idea of a business having a lot of bad reviews and every single response from the owner is like, you came out with your dick out. He's like obviously lying about every bad review.
Okay, this one is, your friend was intoxicated to the point of falling down. She was cut off. It would have been illegal to serve her. If she needs help, seek help. HTTPSAA.org.
Okay, once again, okay, I see this place is in Iowa City. Maybe I don't get how small Iowa City is, but this feels like that John Mulaney joke of like, what bar in New York do you work in? Where in, like, what bar do you work in that you're like, I remember this customer specifically?
It might have happened that night. I don't know. Yeah. If you have to cut somebody up, that doesn't happen every night. All right, here's the last one. This was a major, two stars. This was a major mistake going here. We were very hungry and really looking forward to a good meal. After reading the reviews, we thought it looked good, but wrong. The service was horrible. The cashier lady was so rude. I complained because my husband and myself had only ordered and the bill was already up to $45, not counting my other two kids. The kids' menu is horrible. My daughter wasted her food. There are no fries or salad, no chicken strips, overpriced food, and rude owner. No wonder the place was empty on a Saturday night. That should have been our first clue to turn around and leave.
They start the review by being like, man, this place has so many good reviews, and they end by being like, nobody was there. So what is it? Popular or not popular? What's the idea?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean I complained because we ordered and the bill was already a certain amount? Like, you know what the prices are.
Oh, they ordered the market price. They ordered the swordfish.
Oh, what happened to that couple? Oh, they ordered the market price.
That's where they're complaining there's no salad on the kids' menu. I've never seen a salad on a kids' menu before.
Mm. Being rude to the staff is not the best way to get great customer service. We also gave your kids meal for free, trying to be nice, and we were closing, so that is why the restaurant was empty. Giving bad reviews because you're having a bad day is not very nice. Hope you have a better day tomorrow.
Hmm.
See, the fight and hate with love.
It's kind of nice.
Did we learn anything from this?
You could just lie if you want to. Like, there's nobody to trust.
Nobody checks the owner clapbacks.
All right, big fact, no cap, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Big fact. When it comes to small businesses, you got to have a big heart.
My no capicola, if you're starting a small business, find your young, like Gen Z, Gen Alpha nephew or niece to do your social media for you, including your clapbacks.
And tell them to do a Wendy's thing where they're always posting the latest memes.
Okay, my big fact / no cap is just because you bought an LLC, you're not a small business.
Having an LLC doesn't make you LL Bean.
Everybody with an LLC ain't a business. Facts.
So much drama in the LLC.
All right, guys. I'm going.
All right, y'all. Bye.